Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Lynn Campbell of PFLAG Santa Rosa and parts of her family as our guests. And be patient with us out there, audience, because
they call themselves the Campbell clan.
The Campbell clan. We have Jamie, who's a daughter-in-law, and we have Christina in studio.
Can you guys say hello? And
hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So Christina, you go ahead and say hi so we can get used to your voice.
Okay, this is Christina. Hello.
All right, excellent. And Jamie?
Hi, this is Jamie.
Okay, great. And Lynn?
Hi, this is Lynn.
All right, excellent. So you guys our audience can get kind of used to their sound of their voices. We also are going to have Adam, who is Lynn's son, and Adam's husband, who is Justin. They are going to be on the phone after we get back from break. And we are going to learn all about their family because their family situation is very non-traditional. And we met up with Lynn at Sonoma County Pride this last June. And Lynn told us about her daughters-in-law having babies for Justin and Adam. And I was like, what?
That's a show.
That's a show. And so here they are. And we are going to tell everybody, and they are going to tell us about how their family works and how the kids came to be. And we will be on the phone with Justin and Adam when everybody comes back from news and events with Greg Maralia. So take it away, Greg.
Say.
Good evening, this is Greg Maralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, February 3rd, 2013. A series of anti-gay remarks made by San Francisco 49ers cornerback Chris Culliver has cast a shadow on this San Francisco-based Super Bowl team. Though Culliver has since apologized for the controversial statements, the backlash seems unlikely to dissipate now that a new wrinkle has emerged. The 49ers linebacker Ahmad Brooks and nose tackle Isaac Sapoga, both of whom participated in the team's widely praised It Gets Better video last summer, have denied ever producing it. The players told USA Today Sports that they didn't realize the video's aim was specifically to combat bullying experienced by lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender teens. Brooks said, quote, "This is America, and if someone wants to be gay, they can be gay, but I didn't make any video." Later, after reportedly being shown the video on an iPhone, the player clarified, quote, "Oh, that. It was an anti-bullying video, not a gay rights video." And even more curiously, Sapoga similarly denied taking part in the clip, even as a teammate reportedly tried to jog his memory. He said, quote, "I never went, and now someone is using my name." Here is the audio from the 49ers It Gets Better video with these two players speaking.
There's nothing easy about being young.
About being yourself.
About being an individual.
Every day brings different changes and challenges.
That helped define who you are, but something you should never experience is being bullied, intimidated, or being pressured into being someone or something that you are not.
The San Francisco 49ers are proud to join itgetsbetter.org to let all LGBT teens know that it gets better.
Believe in yourself, set goals for yourself.
Look to the future and it will get better.
On behalf of the entire 49ers organization, we are on your side and we promise it gets better.
Late this week, in response to this denial, It Gets Better Project founder Dan Savage responded by, for the very first time, removing the 49ers video from the It Gets Better website. And on the other side of this Super Bowl field, the Baltimore Ravens' Terrell Suggs positioned himself in direct opposition to this media firestorm surrounding his Super Bowl rivals by proclaiming that he and his teammates would welcome an openly gay player, telling NBC Sports that he would, quote, "absolutely not have a problem with a gay teammate." The Ravens' outside linebacker noted, quote, "We don't care. Our biggest thing in the locker room is just to have fun and stay loose." He added, "On this team, with so many different personalities, we just accept people for who they are and don't really care about a player's sexuality. You know who you are, and we accept you for it." And here locally, after months of site preparation, a long-delayed LGBT retirement project is starting to take shape in Fountain Grove. Construction is well underway on the main building of the 109-unit Fountain Grove Lodge, which is expected to be open by the end of next year. In recent weeks, as many as 140 workers per day have been swarming over the 9.8-acre site between Thomas Lake Harris Drive and the Fountain Grove Golf Course. Bill Mabry, a partner in Oakmont Senior Living, which is building the facility and also constructed the nearby Verena Senior Community, said, "We're really pleased about how things are going. Site preparation and road and foundation work was tough because the site is rocky with so many trees that are being preserved on the property. The craftsman-style cottages under construction and the southern end of the project are built so close to the existing oak trees that limbs are nearly touching the roofs." There have been some complaints by neighbors concerned about the dust from the earth moving and workers' trucks being parked on the street, but those have largely been resolved. Kira Jansen, who lives in the development just north of the site and was a strong opponent to the project, she felt it was far too large for the site, even in a scaled-back version. She also felt that the quasi-commercial institution shouldn't have been allowed between two residential areas. The project includes not only high-end housing for gay, lesbian, and transgender residents, but also a long-term care facility and worker housing. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, February 4th, and every Monday at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBT support group meeting at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And also on Monday at 7 p.m., parents of transgender youth support group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, February 5th at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street. And on Friday, February 8th at 7 p.m., TLC Child and Family Services will host a screening of the documentary A Right to Love, An American Family. The screening will take place at TLC, 1800 Gravenstein Highway North in Sebastopol. This is the film about a local gay couple who live in Santa Rosa with their children. Admission is free. And on Saturday, February 9th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present Free to Be Me Bingo at Guerneville Veterans Memorial Hall, 1st and Church Street in Guerneville. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatnews.com. And follow us all week long for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
And hi, if you just joined us, this is Sheridan Gold and Diana Greer, and we are in Living Proof. Well, it's like we're in living color. You're listening to Living Proof on Outbeat Radio, and we have three wonderful women as our guests tonight and two wonderful men on the phone, Justin and Adam. Justin and Adam, are you there?
Adam's here. Justin is actually wrangling three children right now.
Three kids. three kids. So we have, Adam, we have Jamie and Christina and Lynn in studio. And even though we're going to ask you questions and you're going to say, well, they all know that, Diana and I and Greg, Greg's our engineer, and Diana and I were the hosts, and our listening audience, we don't know the answers to the questions. So my first question to you is, how did you get three kids, you and Justin?
Well, with a whole lot of love, but it started out with a conversation that we had with my older brother, Brian, and his wife, Jamie. And she had kind of mentioned to us one day, we were up at my folks' house in Santa Rosa, and she said, you know, if you guys ever wanted me to carry a child for you, I would do that. And we said, oh, okay. And we kind of just left it at that. And, you know, maybe a year, 2 years went by. We had done some traveling overseas, and it was something, a goal that we had in our personal life to kind of take some time off and kind of see the world and then come back to San Francisco and start a family. And we kind of put that on the track, and you know, when we left, we said, okay, we went back to Jamie and we said, you know, you mentioned that to us, would you still be interested in doing it? And she said, of course.
Wow. And with no hesitation.
No, no. It you know, we were the ones who were probably more hesitant. You know, we're the ones really kind of jumping into it, and she was like, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we found, with the help of some friends, an agency to find a donor for the eggs, and a clinic, you know, to find a doctor who could do it for us, and, you know, started the process. And it took it's about a year and a half process to try and find, you know, a donor, and then you've got to, you know, find the clinic and get everybody checked out. And one of the things that was important to us was finding an egg donor who had donated previously.
Why was that important?
Well, somebody who had, you know, you have that fear of somebody who may donate for the first time and then regret it and, you know, want the baby and, you know. But more than that, it was kind of, we wanted somebody who had, because a lot of it depends on the quality of the egg. And if you have someone who has a track record of producing a lot of eggs in the extraction process, whose donations have resulted in successful pregnancies and births, it was all kind of a track record that we were looking for. And it really limited our choices, but we found a donor, and everything went great. So with our first try, we were all able to get pregnant, and 3 years ago, March 1st, we had Parker, our daughter.
Wow. So thanks for that, you know, very short summary to probably a very long process. And I guess I want to ask Jamie,
yeah,
how that was for you. I mean, I think when people see women who are pregnant, people assume that it's their own baby. So I'm curious how that was for you to have somebody else's egg inside you. And I'm curious as to what you said to people when they said, oh, you're pregnant. And is it, you know, how do you feel about being a mom and all that? I mean, how did you answer those kinds of questions?
You know, it was pretty easy because Parker was my third pregnancy. And so I had two older children with me. But yeah, when I would take the girls to school, you know, I would take Hannah to preschool, and everyone kind of ended up knowing the story. And I just shared the story with everybody, and you kind of share a little bit, and some people you can tell who are more interested in hearing more or being accepting of the information you're going to be giving them, because not everyone is receptive to the whole story of the surrogacy. You know, some people think surrogacy is great, but then others might not like who I was being a surrogate for. So that was a big part of what I went through, but I knew where I stood, and so it didn't really matter to me what other people thought or felt about it, because that's their opinion. And, you know, even my immediate family were not okay with it. So
what happened? What did they say?
My parents and my brothers and my sister, they just said, why would you put yourself through this for someone else? And because of the dangers of what could happen to me during a pregnancy and carrying a baby for my gay brother-in-law. And they couldn't understand that, and they still don't, but that's okay, because that was something I did, and it's something I'm proud of and I feel good about, and maybe it's planting a seed for them. You know, here's an example of something I did, and maybe it'll help break down their walls of whatever they're thinking about the situation. And I was very proud to be a part of it. So
yeah, I'm curious. I want to go back a little bit, Jamie, because I mean, for you to step up and do something so beautiful for Justin and Adam. So I'm just curious, where did that come from for you to offer? How did that show up in you?
My sister had trouble getting pregnant. It took her, you know, a lot longer than she thought. And at that point, I knew in my heart that if she ever needed help or needed me to help carry a baby for her, that was something that I just would do for her. And she ended up getting pregnant after a while, and she was fine. So that's where that became instilled inside of me, that I was aware that I felt that way. And after meeting Adam and Justin and knowing them, and, you know, we'd had a couple of Cosmos and
do you remember that, Adam?
And I did. That's when I said,
"Isn't that how most pregnancies start?"
Yeah.
So that's when I just said I wanted to help them be a family. Mm-hmm. If that's something they wanted, yeah. I wanted to be a part of. Help. I knew how much I loved being a parent, and I wanted them to have that opportunity if that was something they wanted. And I wanted them to know that, you know, I was there to help make it a little bit easier for them if that's the road they wanted to go down.
Mm-hmm. So, Adam, how was that for you and Justin when Jamie was carrying Parker Rose? And, you know, she had these challenges on, you know, helping people understand what was going on, and some people liked it and some people approved and some people didn't approve, including her own immediate family. I mean, what kinds of things did you go through, you and Justin?
We knew the history with Jamie's family and kind of their views towards me and Justin and just the community in general. So that was, you know, something that we all had talked about. It was like, oh, your family's going to freak out. But she was ready for it. And she, you know, she knows that she's her own person, and she doesn't agree with how they feel. And so we didn't really worry about her in that sense, because we felt that she was ready to face that. For us, it was a little strange. Not, you know, we have friends that have had surrogates that were across the country, and that totally was foreign to me. I couldn't wrap my mind around it, going, okay, you have somebody who's like in Kansas and they're having your baby and you're not there to see that. Like, what if she's drinking, you know, what if she's, you don't know what she's doing and all that stuff. And, you know, that's a lot of faith to put into someone that you don't even know, really. Yeah. And we knew Jamie. So it was nice for us to be able to be so close, to go with her to her doctor's appointments and, you know, to see the ultrasound and to kind of be a part of that. And only being an hour away, we can drive up on a weekend and spend time with her. And, you know, we tried to help out with her two kids, and letting her and my brother get away and, you know, take some time off and allow us to get a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
Which was a little scary, because I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And you've only been gone for like 3 hours. And Jamie said, she goes, oh, don't worry. It doesn't start out this crazy. It, you know, it builds itself up. And she was very right about that. It's the first kind of 6 months, at least with one baby, is, fairly benign and interesting and mellow. You know, it's right now and having a 3-year-old. That's crazy.
Well, I must tell you, your mother is in studio cracking up right now. I think she's having tons of memories and good feelings right now about it. Lynn, tell us, you know, we'd like to hear your voice a little bit. Tell us what's coming up for you.
What's coming up for me really is the fact that as a mother of 4 boys, I'm thinking to myself, and really even going back to the coming out process when Adam came out when he was 20 years old, and that evening thinking to myself and mourning the loss that I thought I was going to have, that, you know, he would not ever find anybody to love and be with for the rest of his life, and that he wouldn't have children, and always thought he'd be a great dad, and all of those things, of course, were born of my ignorance at the time. And little did I know that these amazing women would be coming into my life and my family's life as well with 4 boys. And now with Jamie and Christina and my daughter-in-law, Ashley, my youngest son's wife up in Kelseyville, and my 6 granddaughters and 5 grandsons, it's like this just amazing journey. And I can think of a lot worse things than having a gay kid. I mean, it's been such a blessing to us. Mm. It's brought so many amazing things to our life.
Wow. And so you were there with the births and everything, Lynn, were you?
I was actually there for Parker's birth. Mm-hmm. But because the twins were considered high-risk birth, and that's true for all twins, they had to be born in a surgical suite, so family was not allowed in there except for Adam and Justin and Christina and Devin, which was fine.
Just to interrupt you for a minute, Christina, who's your other daughter-in-law, who is here in studio as well. Say hi, Christina.
Hello.
She is the mother of the twins, and so people may not have known that. So I just wanted to put that in there. Before we move on to the twins, we wanted to finish up with Parker Rose and Jamie. And so I just wanted to put that out so people aren't going, wait, I thought she had Parker Rose. Twins, what? So anyway.
Sorry about that. I got a little ahead
of
myself.
Yeah. No worries. So thank you for telling us what was going on for you. Yeah, it must be really, really interesting to hear your son talk about, oh, it's crazy, and then you had 4 boys, right?
I did. It's kind of, actually, it's like, payback.
What do you think about that, Adam?
yeah, I guess. But, you know, if if she could go back in time and have twin boys, I'd like to see how that would go.
No, thank you. One at a time was good.
I have the utmost respect for anyone who has triplets or quads or anything like that. Because, I mean, 2 is crazy.
Yeah.
It really is crazy.
Can you tell us how it's crazy?
We've got a boy and a girl, Milo and Quinn, and they were born 4.5 months ago. And, you know, it could be that we've got 2 newborns and a 3-year-old. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the part that's thrown us the most is that we're outnumbered, in the sense of there's always one that we can't be with one-on-one. And so that's what makes it, I think, a little bit crazy, is trying to get our attention to everyone. My dad was a career Marine, and I think that may have had a little bit to do with it, but we have like a military grade schedule that if we don't stick to it, it's chaos. Mm. And just the slightest delay in bath time or feeding or dinner, any of that stuff, it just, the whole thing gets kind of crazy. Mm. So you have to stick to the schedule. And so we have our duties, and, you know, the babies have started more consistently sleeping through the night, and are really only up once now, usually at the most. So So we kind of, the first time somebody wakes up, I'll get up. The next time, Justin will get up. And then in the morning, he gets the twins ready, and I get Parker ready, and then I kind of push them out the door at 7, and he takes them to daycare, and then we both work all day, and then I get off work and leave downtown at 5, and I'm there to pick them up at 6, and he's home shortly thereafter. And it's like, okay, dinner, bath, bed by 8 o'clock. So 6 to 8 is like a marathon.
Time management skills are important, huh? Wow.
It really is, yeah. And, you know, sometimes you have a hard day and you just kind of want to take 10 minutes and relax. And sometimes if you do that, you just throw everything off. And then other nights you just got to go just push till 8 o'clock. And then you get a breather. And sometimes it's like, okay, and then, shoot, now we have all this laundry to do. We got the dishes. And, you know, it's like it just keeps going, going, and going.
Well, since you mentioned the twins and your mom mentioned the twins, and we have the carrier of the twins in studio with us, Christina.
Yes.
Christina, let's ask you some of the same questions we asked Jamie, which are the questions of how was it for you to carry these babies? When did you know that you were having twins? How did Justin and Adam ask you to have the babies? How did you come to be? Did you volunteer like Jamie did? I mean, tell us kind of the history, and then we're going to take a music break. That's a lot of you to remember, but a lot of questions for you to remember. But just tell us what you can think of.
Okay. If I remember correctly, I had told them before that if they wanted another baby, I would carry it. And I remember exactly when Justin first talked to me about it after Parker was already born. And we were up at Danny and Ashley's house in Kelseyville, the youngest brother. And we were out on the deck at the bar that they own. And Justin looked at me and he said, I think you've said you'd do it, and he was so nervous. I felt like so bad for him. And he just said, you know, are you still willing to carry a baby for us? And I said, of course. And just like the relief that washed over him was just like incredible. And so, then we went back in the house and he told Adam, I asked her and she said, yes. And so, and from there, it just happened. We did a cycle. And
what does that mean?
That's where you start doing shots, Lupron, progesterone, estrogen. I guess you're basically telling your body that it's pregnant, even though you're really not yet.
Okay.
And so then they do the transfer where they put the embryos inside your uterus, and then hopefully they take. Your body accepts them as a pregnancy.
And when you say them, what are you speaking about?
Oh, embryos. So two embryos were implanted.
Mm. Two.
Yes. And the first cycle, neither of them took. And so then you know, kind of give your body a break and then try again. So then we did two more that were implanted on January 14th of 2012, and they both took. So that was the twins. And you know it's a possibility of twins because of the two embryos that get put in both take.
Why do they put two in you?
To better your odds of getting pregnant. Each cycle is costly, and so they want to just give you the best chance.
I see.
You know?
So. And yeah, we, with Parker, we had six embryos total. And so you get the six are fertilized, and, you know, your fresh cycle, which is always your first one, has your best odds. And the clinic had told us, you know, you have a 75% chance that at least one of these embryos will take and a 25% chance that both will take. And so, you know, we kind of were joking, we always wanted two kids. So we said, maybe we'll just get twins the first time and we'll be done. And then after Parker came, we said, oh God, thank God it was only one. It would just be kind of crazy to try and be a new parent of twins, like, you know, not knowing what you're doing. And so, the next two cycles are frozen, that they thaw out the embryos and then implant them. Again, two at a time to maximize our chances.
Mm. And so you'd mentioned coming up and being with Jamie and her kids and watching her kids and giving them a break, Jamie and Brian. And did Christina live close to you as well? I mean, were you able to be part of her life also?
Yes, they live in Windsor.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we're all fairly close to each other. I guess the biggest distance is between us and my youngest brother and Kelsey Bell. But my folks and Brian and Jamie and Devin and Christina are right there in Santa Rosa and Windsor. So they're kind of right in the midpoint.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing stuff. Lynn, I'm so glad that we ran into you at Pride this summer.
I could
meet you, Adam, and meet you guys, Jamie and Christina. We're going to take a music break. This is a special song called Redefine the Family by Michael Callen. Enjoy.
By the other day, he said he'd been sent by the U.S. government and the president. He produced a long, long form. He looked me in the eye. Tell the truth now, do not lie. Here's the reason why. Define the family. Question one, this household. List each occupant. Say how related and how old. And do you own or rent? And may I presume you're married? I said, in a sense. And children? Perhaps 2.5 and a picket fence. He smiled and said, a wife and kids, now that's a family. The backbone of our democracy. The way the Bible says it should be. That's how we define the family. Well, oh, well, oh, well, I had sworn to tell the truth and I don't like to lie. Sir, you're misinformed. Please allow me to clarify. And I told him we define our family. We offer no apology. We celebrate our diversity. You see, we define our family. The lover's name is Richard. His lover's name is Pat. We're one big happy family. Is there a box for that? We live here with Pam and Lynn. They're lesbians and lovers. Together we're raising three great kids, Gertrude and her two brothers. You see, we'll define our own family. We practice creativity. We teach respect for diversity. You see, we define our family. Well, oh, well, oh, well, the poor man seemed to lose his cool. He shouted, this is outrageous! You better go then, I replied, 'cause it may be contagious. I told him we've defined our family, so it includes you and me. Teach respect for diversity, we define our family.
And that was Michael Callen, Redefine a Family, off his Legacy CD. It's a great song about, you know, who's to say what a family is and how do you define a family. And besides, we got that new show on TV, The New Normal, which, you know, listening, Adam, you there?
Yes.
Listening to you speak and seeing Julie and Christina across the way and Lynn, the mom.
Jamie. It's okay. She's having a hard time with Jamie tonight.
Seeing Jamie and Christina and Lynn and hearing you, Adam, on the phone is like, oh my gosh, you guys were before this new show. And this new show is about, right. Have you watched it? Do you see any parallels?
I have, yeah. And I see a lot of similarities in the couple themselves and how they interact with each other. And I said, oh yeah, that was us. And oh yeah, we did that. Yeah. And seeing, I mean, you guys can see Jamie in the studio and she looks so much like the surrogate in the show. And, mm-hmm. It does really bring back a lot of that stuff of, you know, kind of what's going to happen. And it is all first time for a lot of us. And,
It's a great show. And I think it would give an inkling into what you all are dealing with, maybe, but the mother-in-law, the mother Lynn, I mean, she's nothing like the Nana character, which is, you know, right. Homophobe and, you know, very uppity. And, you know, Lynn is just like down to earth, beautiful.
Yeah. Lynn is a
beautiful, open hearted woman.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about Adam, you and Justin taking care of the kids, you know, listening to your description of how hard it is for you all. And I was curious about your family here. You have Jamie and you have Christina and you have mom. Seems like somebody needs to give you guys some relief.
Well, I'll tell you, when we had the twins, my mom came down and stayed at our house for 6 weeks.
Wow.
She helped us and we're like, where is she? I took 4 months off when Parker was born, and stayed with her and got the time off of work. And then Justin took, time off this time. I got promoted in April and it's too much for me to try and take off that amount of time again. So my mom said she would come down. She's recently retired and,
congratulations.
It was great. It was so nice. Dinner was made when I got home, and it was like, it just took so much of the stress of, oh my God, what are we going to do for dinner? And, you know, there's laundry and all that stuff and bath time. And it took so much of that stress off of us in the beginning and allowed us to kind of, and she would go home on the weekends and we would kind of like, okay, let's try this on our own. And then by, you know, Sunday night, we were like, oh my God, where is she?
How was that for you, Lynn, to be there during the week for 6 weeks with the twins? And
I came home and told my husband one night, I said, this is the hardest job I ever loved. Mm. And really it was. Mm-hmm. I worked hard. I absolutely understand why God gives young women children.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But I loved every second of it. Mm-hmm. I just... so much.
What's one memory that stands out for you?
The night that Quinn and I had a pajama party in my room and she got to stay in my bed all night.
Oh.
Because she was not really fussy and her brother was. And Justin really was up a lot at night with Milo. And so rather than having him juggle two babies at once, I just, you know, he's such a humble guy, he would never ask for that kind of help. And I just said, well, we're having a slumber party, so she's coming with me. And I just sort of kind of, you know, I didn't want to be that kind of pushy mother-in-law, but that night I felt he needed some relief.
Mm.
So
did you hear from Justin later about how that was for him?
You know, I just felt that whole time that I was there, I don't know really how Justin felt about it. I really feel that Justin did very much appreciate, as Adam did, my presence there. But I can tell you that I bonded with Justin during that 6 weeks. Oh. We had amazing days together. It was nothing extravagant. It just was being with each other and really being a team. And I've never felt closer to him than I did at that time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And they've been together a long time.
How long?
How long, Gail?
How long, Adam?
Next month will be 15 years.
Oh, 15. Congratulations. That's exciting. So next month, Parker's 3, and you guys will have your 15-year anniversary.
Yes, yes.
Not to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
sometimes it's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lynn, I've always admired you and your love for your 4 sons, and now your daughter-in-laws, and I'm just curious about your husband. Is he involved with the family like you are?
My husband thinks he's died and gone to heaven since having these grandchildren, and actually his daughter-in-laws, because he just adores all of them.
Oh.
Having boys himself. He actually told me before I got pregnant with Brian that he really wanted girls. He didn't want to have boys because he thought he was going to be too hard a dad on them, you know, with that Marine background and all. But he loves his girls. Mm. He really loves his girls, but he loves all his grandkids. Mm. Christina and Jamie can attest to that.
Mm-hmm. So what about it, Christina and Jamie, about your father-in-law? Sonny.
I mean, I love him. I adore him. He's like a dad to me, and I feel very close to him, and he's a sucker for all the grandkids, you know. He'll watch them pretty much any time I ask him. He will probably almost always say yes, unless he has plans. He loves hanging out with any of the grandkids, and their favorite thing is to go to the dollar store, and you know,
that's nice. I mean, on a budget.
Yeah, the family unit itself is the most important thing to Lynn and Sonny and to all of us. And even though I'm married into the family, it is, the whole unit is such a loving family that I couldn't imagine not being a part of it, you know? Mm-hmm. They are a wonderful example of how to love your kids, mm-hmm. no matter what. And they're a wonderful example of that, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Oh, that's good to hear.
You're getting really emotional around it. That's nice. Yeah. I felt that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're good to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Christina, do you have anything to add about...
Well, Sonny's really helpful with our kids. My husband and I have 4, and they both help, you know, whenever we ask, and even we don't have to ask, sometimes they just do, so. it's really nice. They actually just went on vacation with us to Tahoe, and we had the best time. It was all 6 of us, and then them too, and they stayed in a room right next to us, and you know, they came over and watched the kids one night, and we were able to go out, and they had them over for breakfast, and you know, we all went out and played in the snow, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm.
We're not perfect, but we really, really do love each other.
Well,
all of us.
I mean nobody comes from perfect family.
No.
But there's a lot of families that don't love each other, so it makes you all really, really special. And for your kids to have grandparents like Lynn and Sonny, wow, what a gift. You know, mm-hmm. it seems like it's just, you guys have all been a gift to each other.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Definitely. You know, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell Parker Rose? I'm curious about how she came to be in the world, mm-hmm. when she has 2 dads. And does she have a relationship with you as far as you carried her?
Jamie,
so.
Well, Justin has said a couple times when I'm around and Parker comes up, he goes, "Whose tummy did you grow in?" And she'll look at me and point at me. And I mean, that's amazing that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And I love it, because with my own children, they knew the whole time that that's their cousin growing inside mommy's belly. And were babysitting, and, you know, that's your cousin. And we talk about her. I talk about her to remind them. And when we see her for holidays or birthday parties or whatever, I say, you know, we talk about the story a little bit. I talk about it almost every time because it's special and it's important, and it needs, you know, it's a part of our reality, and it's amazing. So yeah, with, I love that Justin says that. And it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know the twins are only 4 months, Christina, but how do you suppose, I mean, do you feel the same way as, do you think that's going to happen with Milo and Quinn, or how do you feel like you will be explained to them, or what do you think your relationship will be with them?
I'm sure it'll be similar to Jamie's, and you know, I'm thinking that the kids will always know what happened. And my kids also knew, you know, from the beginning that we were trying to have a baby for Uncle Adam and Uncle Justin. And, I think just always talking about it helps our kids, at least, you know, to understand what was happening. And, my daughter, she's only 4, but she's a little bit hard to understand sometimes. So she would be trying, when people would say, oh, you're having a little brother or a little sister. And she would, in her own way of talking, say, no, it's going to be my cousins. There's twins. It's a boy and a girl. And, you know, and people just kind of smile and nod, don't really understand what she's saying. And sometimes she really would try to drive the point home of, I'm not having a brother or sister. And so then I would explain. But other than that, I didn't really get into it with, like, strangers or, you know, if it was just like a casual, oh, you're having a baby, yeah. You know, if I'm not going to see them again. Mm-hmm. So, and then there was, like, the occasional people that, like, at my kids' schools, if I knew I was going to be seeing them again without babies or a baby, I would explain in more detail. And everybody was so supportive of me, my family and friends and strangers. So after the twins were born, there was two people I ran into separately that I hadn't explained to, and they were asking, oh, where's your baby? So then it was kind of like, oh, well, I don't have one. And I think it was hesitation on their part to ask, you know, maybe if something happened to the baby, or, you know, they just don't know. So I don't mind explaining at all.
Wow. You guys made it so clear. I mean, you know, it's just so clear. I mean, you say you're not a perfect family, Lynn, but I'm having a hard time seeing where you're faltering here, you know?
Oh, that's all in the closet.
Yeah. So Brian, what would Brian and Devin say about this? I mean, you speak for your husbands, and what would they say about this situation to us and to the audience? I'm just curious.
When Devin and I first talked about it, I said, you know, Justin asked me if we would be willing to be a surrogate, and he was totally supportive of it. He loves his family, and, you know, that once, like, the logistics of the whole thing kind of came about, I was like, oh, he's probably going to be, you know, scared. Like, for me, the big thing was giving shots. They're real big needles, and I'm not a shot person, and he had to do every single one for me. I think Jamie did a lot of your own. So she did all her own. I couldn't even do one. I was, like, terrified. And he was out of town for work a couple of times. And I was, like, in a panic of who's going to do my shot. So, like, my mom came over and my aunt, and they made, like, a big spectacle about it, about giving me the shots in my rear end. And, you know, but we all got through it. And I was so happy when that part was over.
You're a brave woman.
So Devin was really, he was there the whole time, 100%. And, yeah.
And what about Brian, Jamie?
Brian also was 100%, you know, didn't doubt it at all. That he knew I had told them I wanted to, and he was on board. And I had said, you know, I want to have my own kids first and have my own experience, but I would love to do this for you. And then when they asked, my youngest daughter was less than a year old, and we had talked about it a little bit. And I think Justin, you know, also very nervously said, do you remember when you offered to carry a baby for us? And I was going, yeah. because then I had a little baby, and I had just had my second baby. And so, you know, I had to think, okay, they want me to start this process when Audrey was a year old. Mm-hmm. And I had to stop nursing so that I could proceed with the shots myself. And that was a big, that was a big step for me to say, when I was single or, dating their brother, and that was easy to do. But as a mother, choosing to go through another somewhat difficult or uncomfortable pregnancy was kind of like, I said that, didn't I? And in my heart, I still was that same person, but Brian was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, that's easy for you to say, but so yeah, he was really, 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 supportive and loves being a dad, loves having a family, and also wanted that for his brothers, and was very happy to be a part of that.
That is so amazing. Did you want to say something, Lynn?
I have a short little story about Parker having two dads. I got the chance to take my granddaughters a couple of weeks ago to a dance recital at the Marin Civic Center. It was quite long, and so we did leave a little bit early because I had Parker and Cadence, Christina's youngest daughter, and Audrey and Hannah, Jamie and Brian's daughter, in the car. And coming home just before we got home, of course, the two little ones were getting tired, and Cadence said, I want my mom and dad. And I said, honey, we're almost home. And Parker said from the back seat sitting next to Cadence, I don't have a mom. And I said, but you have two dads, and that's really special. And Caden said to her, yeah, you have two dads. And it was just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I mean, to have the innocence of a child, it's too bad a lot of other people couldn't have that kind of innocence. It'd be a whole different world. But they're just so accepting of all of that. So this generation sitting next to me here tonight and the generation that they have produced, I really think is going to be the changing factor in love and acceptance in our world.
Beautiful.
Well put.
So I want to say something. I want to ask a question. Are there any more kids coming?
Any more asking?
Adam, Justin, any more kids coming? Jamie, Christina?
No, I told them one was it for me.
Okay. Christina?
Well, I'm pretty sure Adam and Justin are done, and Devin and I are done.
Yeah.
I'm fresh off of a surrogacy, but I would possibly consider doing it again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Mm.
And then Adam, what about you? Are you done?
We are done.
He's done.
Yeah.
And Lynn, are you done?
I'm done.
So we're at the point in our show where we like to ask our guests for advice to people who might be thinking about going down the path that you have trailblazed. So, Adam, we really, really appreciate you being on the phone with us this whole hour. And we know that Justin's going crazy with the kids all by himself. And so we'd like to ask you first, and then maybe if you want, you could get off the phone, for advice. If someone came to you for advice, a gay couple, and they want kids and they don't know how to go about it, or they have some surrogates in mind, or what would you say? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to ask a lot of questions of a lot of people. Do your research. There's actually a couple friends that we know started a group on Facebook called Suro Dads.
Ah.
And it's a group of guys that are dads and have gone through surrogacy. And also people who are starting the process. And so when they join the group, they'll say, hey, have you heard about this clinic? Or, we're looking for a surrogate. There's this website we've heard about, and people who have used them, are weighing in and saying, yeah, they're a good one. That one's not so good. We didn't have a good experience there, so we went to a different place. And so, you know, a lot of people have asked questions about the clinic that we used, and it's been nice to be able to tell them, look, we had a wonderful experience. Our doctor was great. We had a, you know, 50% success rate, you know, with our embryo transfers. So, you know, that's something that I think, you know, it's nice because, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there weren't a lot of gay couples having kids. And now, once you're seeing, you know, all the states that are allowing us to get married, people are settling down and they're going, oh, you know what? I always wanted kids but never thought I could, and now I'm seeing that it's a possibility. And that's great. You know, we've got friends down south that had twins 6 weeks after us. They're second and third, and a friend of ours just had a baby a couple weeks ago. His first with, actually, he was he fathered a child with a lesbian couple, and they're raising the child together.
We have 15 seconds. Sorry.
So yeah, so you know, just I would say do your research, ask around. There's people are more than willing to help.
Thank you so much. And Surodad on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. So what's that?
It's S-U-R-R-O, Dad.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Adam. And Lynn, thank you so much for being in studio with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Love
Jamie,
to see you.
Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Sorry we have to cut it short. We didn't get advice from y'all, but if anybody wants to know anything further about this, contact Diana and myself at goldengrayer@sonic.net, and we will get you in touch. And until then, Diana and I will see you next month on Living Proof. And just remember that our community is vibrant, and we have lots of stories to tell, just like the one you heard tonight.
Good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio and KRCB comes from members and from WACOBB.net. With over 10,000 members, WACOBB.net is a bulletin board for North Bay progressive community, including a business directory featuring testimonials from our trusted business community. Information to list your business or to find a service provider is available at WACOBB.net. That's WACOBB.net. Connecting conscious community. You're listening to KRCB-FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa, news, arts, and ideas where you are. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Moyers & Company is next.
Realize that question is how we go. To question is to go. So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. Stop me now. You can